Good morning. Well, last week, Linda said that we all tell jokes before we start the sermon. I don't tell jokes. So for you, Linda, I'm going to tell a joke. Okay? It's for Linda, this one. So, in the war, the Nazis captured four people. They captured a Welshman, an Irishman, a Scotsman, and an Englishman. Said, we're going to shoot you. Before we shoot you, we'll give you one last request. They went to the Welshman. Have you got a last request? Yes. What do you want? I want 1,000 male voice choir singing Land of My Fathers. Went to the Irishman. Your final request? Yes. What's that? I want 1,000 Irish dancers dancing to Lord of the Dance. They went to the Scotsman. Your final request? Yes. What's that? I want 1,000 bagpipers piping Flower of Scotland. Englishman, final request? Yes. What's that? Shoot me first. I'm sorry, Linda, but I don't tell jokes, but that's for Linda. Okay, so welcome. Now, me and Ben are a team because my clicker's de-clicking. I've lost my clicker. So that's my clicker today. Me and Ben, a seamless team. Seamless team. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Today's sermon is called Five Things a Christian Should Not Do. Glory! How encouraging is that? Five Things a Christian Should Not Do. How positive. How exciting. Well, this came to me when I was reading through James. I was quite challenged as I read. So, five things a Christian shouldn't do. Murder, theft, adultery, lying and blasphemy. I'm sure that most of us would agree we shouldn't do those things. Yeah, 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 fair enough. What about these? In the 1950s and 60s, lots of dilemma went about this particular thing. Going to the cinema, using makeup, lads, ladies. Going to pubs, dancing, playing football on a Sunday. These things were very much in debating, you know. Apparently my granddad, who I never knew, used to say, the best side of the pub is the outside. Christians, can Christians dance? I've been to some weddings, and the answer is this. Some can, and some can't. This next list, this is very much a current thing, isn't it? Sex before marriage, gossiping, swearing, excessive eating and drinking, selfish ambition. Those things, should Christians do those? But today I want to do five things which we shouldn't do. These are the five things, thank you. We shouldn't read the Bible, we shouldn't meet together, we shouldn't worship, we shouldn't give and we shouldn't pray. Who agrees with that we shouldn't do those? They agree? Do you want to leave now then? Well, you might want to say I'm a heretic or I talk more rubbish than a typical Rochdale politician. But I want to qualify this, obviously, because if you know me, those five things I passionately believe in. So I want to give you five challenges, but also five big encouragements as well, to encourage you, but to challenge as well in these things. Because we need challenging, and we need encouraging. So the first one, we shouldn't read the Bible. So don't read the Bible. Don't shoot me. James said this. This is what really kind of triggered this. A few weeks ago, I read this. I thought, wow, it really convicted me, this. Because I read my Bible every day. Different styles. I sometimes read a whole book, like I read the whole of Galatians recently, straight through. Sometimes I read a short bit. Sometimes I journal, write things down. I sometimes follow a plan. Sometimes a bit ad hoc. I don't like to stick to one form. Some folks like to read a Bible in a year and do four chapters a day or whatever. That's fine. As long as we get God's word into us, we can listen it on our phones, can't we? But get God's word into us. I read this in James. He said this. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. After looking at it, at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Don't just read the Bible. Listen to the Bible, do what it says. So you go to the mirror, and you see some spinach in your teeth and bit of a pork pie in your beard. Well, you move the, you know, you do, you rack, don't you, to the mirror. When you see God's word, it's very much like a mirror. So how should we read the Bible? How should we read God's word, the Bible? God's word is very much God's word. It's not just a book. It is a book. It's more than a book, isn't it? I became a Christian when I was 16. I was brought up in a church, brought up through the church. And two things happened to me when I became a Christian straight away. Number one, I wasn't frightened of dying at all. Number two, the Bible came alive straight away from being a dull book, just to being wow. And straight away, God spoke to me through the word. Listen, read it, and listen to it regularly. Every day, make some time to read the Bible, to just soak in it. Read the Bible. But always pray before you read it. The Holy Spirit reveals God's word to your heart and mind. It's about revelation. It's a spiritual book. You can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. He will teach us things. The Holy Spirit teaches us God's word. And then we do as it says. I like Derek Prince, who's a Bible teacher. He died a few years ago, Derek. Derek was an intellectual. He was professor of philosophy at Cambridge University. A very high-powered thinking man. And Derek joined in 1941. And he had libraries of books he devoured on all these philosophers. And he thought, well, I can't take those with me in my kit bag. I'll take one book. I'll take the Bible and read that and work it out. Now, Derek's a logical man. And he said, I can't work out the Bible. Is it poetry? Is it history? Is it philosophy? What is the Bible? But one night, God, the author, revealed himself to Derek. And the Bible suddenly came alive. And he became a Bible teacher. But Derek said that the Bible was a mystery until the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And he became a brilliant, brilliant Bible teacher. So we need to have the Holy Spirit reveal it to us, don't we? You can't read the Bible casually. Lord, show me what you want me to learn today. Read it. He'll show you something every time. Brilliant. And then do what it says. Heroes in the Bible. I'm sure you've got your Bible heroes. One of mine is Joseph. Not Joseph with his many coats, but Jesus' dad, Mary's husband. Can you tell me a good quote from the Bible what Joseph says, please, somebody? Can you give me a quote what Joseph says in the story of Nativity? No, you can't. Why can't you tell me a quote? He says nothing in the Bible. Mary speaks a lot, but not Joseph. What does Joseph do? Everything he's told, he does straight away. Wow, have you read the story of Christmas? Everything the angel says to him, or revealed in a dream, he does it straight away. What a man. He does what God's word says. Now, if you're thinking about leaving your wife, or telling lies to get a promotion at work, or passing some gossip on, just read the Bible, because you won't do that. The Bible teaches us, trains us what we should and shouldn't do. Let's encourage each other now. Let's say together. I like what Jez does, how we speak together. Let's try and read some scriptures together. Let's read Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 together. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture. And it says it's good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Because I need teaching. I need rebuking. I need correcting. I need training in righteousness. That's encouraging. The Bible is so relevant to me today. It's so alive. And this verse I learned as a young Christian, and I've always thought this verse is fantastic. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, together. For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible is powerful. It sustains us, our spiritual food. Every time you open the Bible, there's a banquet available. not a bit of mouldy old bread or something. It's fantastic. So, don't read the Bible. Read the Bible, okay? Next thing we shouldn't do is don't worship. Don't worship. And by this, I mean worship in public like we did this morning. Don't worship. What do I mean by that? Next verse, please. It says this. Jesus says to these people, and he quotes from Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." People honor me with their lips. Last Sunday, Matt prayed very loud, a wonderful prayer to soften our hearts, Lord. Are our hearts soft? Are we proud and we know it all? Do we know it all? Are our hearts soft before God? When we worship, we should have very soft hearts. Somebody said, "Christians don't tell lies, we sing them." I did learn this song as a young kid. "The Saviour has come in his mighty power and spoken peace to my soul, and all of my life from the very hour." All of my life? Have you got it to his control? What a liar. I've not. "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." Eh? Are you serious? Let's make sure that when we praise God with our lips, our hearts are in tune. So, don't worship. How should we worship? How do we worship God? A wonderful verse here in John. It's Jesus speaking again to the woman at Samaria. And let's together read this verse, an encouraging verse to read. So let's read this. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Worship is a spiritual act. Our spirit communes with God's spirit. So you can't, if you're not born again of the Spirit, you can't worship, because our spirit communes with God's spirit. That's the first and foremost. We don't worship with our souls, first of all, and our bodies. Those come in later, but our worship is us, our inner spirit, communing with God. And what a great time this morning in worship, wasn't it? Wasn't it wonderful to worship God this morning? Our spirits together, the Holy Spirit. Spirit to spirit. And then, of course, your soul, yeah, your emotions kick in. The excitement, the wonder of it all. Our bodies move. Some of us dance. Some of us put arms in the air. Some of us, I don't know, dance around the front here, little kids do. But our bodies are involved as well. But essentially, worship is a spiritual act. We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The guys on the music team, the worship team, would you read Psalm 95 and 96? I read that recently. It's fantastic how we worship God. What we say, what we do, our bodies, how we move as we worship God. It's superb. Psalm 95 and 96, good homework that. It's a verb worship. It's doing stuff all the time. It's not sit on your bottom job. It's doing stuff as we worship God. So we worship God in spirit and truth. So don't worship. Worship. The third thing we shouldn't do as Christians is don't meet together. Don't meet together. There's a horrible verse in 1 Corinthians 11, just what Jez read this morning, a bit before. It's about the communion. Listen to this. How horrible is this? "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good." Imagine going home and having, "Oh, it's horrible today. Terrible meeting today. It was awful." Why were these Corinthians on a horrible meeting? What was wrong with them? What were they doing wrong? It says that it's about the Lord's Supper, really. They used to meet for a meal. It said there are divisions among them. I believe that. I believe that. I'm following him. I'm following him. I'm following her. There were divisions among them. There was selfishness. Food's up. Get out of my way. Food's up. I'm first. And then it said also there was humiliation. People were humiliated. Imagine leaving here being humiliated. How horrible is that? These are horrible things to do. Question, all these things today are about motive. The motive. Why do we read the Bible? Why do we worship? Why do we come together? Good question. Why are you here this morning? Some people, they've been coming here since they were a kiddie, a baby. So we come every Sunday morning because that's what we do. I went to church 3 times on a Sunday until I was 18. Well, I went twice. That's what I did, you know. Have we come to meet with God, the living God? Have we come to meet with others? I think we come to church for 2 things, to meet with the living God and to meet with brothers and sisters. Is it our lifestyle? Or is it something a bit more deep than that? I need to be touched by God. I've been dragged here by my friend. I just want to worship God. Have you come here to give or to get? Have you come here to give or to get? Should be answered is both. Jez read this morning. He said, "What I received from the Lord, I gave to you." This, God willing, I've received this from the Lord, this word. It's not from me making it up. So I can give it to you. But if God's given me nothing, I can't give you anything. I can't, come to my house, I'll give you a nice, thick fillet steak. I can't do. Not in the house, I can't give you that. So you've got to receive before you give. So we come here to receive, also to give to God our praise, and to give to each other. We're not little islands all walking around. We must give to each other. We meet God and we meet each other. So we don't meet together. How do we meet together? This is a very good question. How do we meet together? And a verse here is in Hebrews, a famous verse which often quoted in this place. So let's encourage each other as we read this verse from Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may Thank you so much. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Would you please do me a favour? Would you spur me on to love and good deeds? And can I just spur you on to love and good deeds? Spur each other on. You spur your mate on. You spur people on. And could you encourage one another? We encourage. Are you encouraged today here? We should be encouraged today. The communion, the worship, the word, we should be encouraged. Each other's the vibrancy of our fellowship in Jesus. Let's meet together. Let's spur each other on towards love and good deeds. And let's encourage each other. So we do meet together, obviously. But let's do it with the right motive. The fourth thing we shouldn't do is this. We shouldn't give. Interesting, actually. Isn't it funny in church? Most of us give online. We come down with a bag. I never give anyone in that bag because it's all online. It's funny, isn't it, how things change. Everyone used to give money in the bag, didn't they, at one time? Some churches have stopped doing that, money in the bag. They just, it's all online now. You click your card and all that sort of stuff. But don't give. Don't give. This is Jesus speaking now. And Jesus said this. He said this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already received their reward in full. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and so your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. We should give to God, obviously, but the right way. Thanks, Ben. Who's that, Ollie? Don Fanucci. Hey. Hey. Capiche? You stupid? The Godfather. And this is a scene. There's a Catholic procession in New York. And Jesus comes, the statue of Jesus, and they all... When Mary comes, they all, oh, Mary. And what they do is they put money under the statue, gifts to the church. And this Don Fanucci is a local kind of godfather guy. And he got a lot of money. So he goes and puts loads of money. And everyone's going, oh, great, that. And he's going, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. But it's typical, isn't it, of like what you shouldn't do. It's a bit of an extreme example, I know. Who's this chap here? Zacchaeus. Reggie spoke on Zacchaeus about encountering God about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he spoke about this, and it was a superb talk Reggie gave. One thing I thought of this was, what was his response to Jesus? Up the tree, Zacchaeus, Jesus met him, encountered him. And this is the response of Zacchaeus to Jesus. Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back 4 times the amount. And the Lord said to him, today, salvation's come to this house. Here's a question. Can you have salvation without God having your wallet? Can you be saved without having God having your wallet? Zacchaeus, straight away. Lord, here and now I give you that straight away. The Lord touched his life and touched his wallet. Yes, of course, we must give. But how do we give? Let's have a look at this. 2 verses in Corinthians again. A lot of Corinthians stuff today, isn't there? Let's encourage each other in giving by reading 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Okay, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Between you and God, what money should I give? How much should I give? It says it in line with your income. And carrying on in 2 Corinthians 9, let's together read this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's great to give, isn't it? I love it, giving stuff to people at Christmas. It's great giving presents. Giving stuff to people is so good. So we're giving to God, to God's work, and we decide in our hearts what to give. Not reluctantly, not reluctantly. Make sure God has your wallet. Make sure God has all of you, and give generously to his work. Because when you give to his work, you're giving to Jesus himself. So don't give. Give the right way. And the final one's a biggie for me. Don't pray. Please don't pray. It's wrong to pray. Don't pray. Don't pray. This hit me very forcibly. I was reading through James. It must have been about 4 weeks ago when this came to me. Again, James is quite hard-hitting. He tells it straight, James does. Shoots from the hip. And James says this. You don't have because you don't ask. I'll ask God. So first thing is, you don't ask, you don't get. You don't ask. When you ask, you don't receive. Why not? Because you ask with wrong motives. There you go again. It's the motive. You may spend what you get on your pleasures. There's a big thing on YouTube now, slagging off all these pastors in America, these prosperity pastors, and I can see the point of view because they want 2 Jags, they want 2 aeroplanes and a battleship in the yard sort of thing, and they're getting them. I mean, it's amazing. But basically, when you're asking for things, what do you want? Is it for you? Lord, give me a new Rolls Royce, please. I like a real new Rolls Royce. Amen. Thank you. Where is it? Now, I know when we pray, God wants us to learn to wait, and God wants us to learn a lot when we pray. The bottom line is, what's our motive for asking for things? What we're praying for? And things do block us in our prayers. I'll just put 3 things here, I think, are the 3 main blocks in my life, maybe not yours. These block me often when I pray, and why I don't get some prayers answered. First of all, is sin. A big word, sin. It says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So if I'm playing away, if I'm cheating finances, if I'm always gossiping about people behind the backs and ask for something, sorry, not in God's will. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Not a selfish motive. It's in his will. For his glory. For my benefit, yes, absolutely. For our benefits, for his glory. The third one is this. It's a lack of faith. I don't believe it. I don't believe. Heal that bloke, amen. Don't believe it. Lack of faith. But let him ask in faith. This is still in James. Ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Ask in faith with no doubting. Believe in God. I think sin in our hearts, which is unconfessed. Asking for selfish motives, not in God's will. And lack of faith can be a serious hindrance in our prayers. So don't pray. Don't pray. Let's pray. How do we pray? Again, our friend James says this. He said, you don't ask because of the wrong motives. The wrong motives. So what are the right motives then? If you don't get because we're asking for the wrong motives, how should we ask? How should we ask? Well, let's make sure that we pray with the right motive. Confess any sin in your heart so you'll be forgiven, so God can hear your prayers. If you something in your life, we've already had a great general confession, haven't we? This just this morning. Anything specific in your life which is bogging us down, or give it to him. Repent, turn to him, give it to him. Spend time with him so our prayers will be according to his will. How do you know what my wife likes? I know what she likes. I live with her, spend time with her. How do I know what stranger in the street likes? I've not got a clue. With God, spend time with him. In prayer, listening to him. You get to know his heartbeat. You get to know his will. When we pray, we're praying for things. I love the Jabez prayer because he said, bless me indeed. I want God to bless me so much so I can bless other people and honour him. We must be blessed as well, of course. So spend time with him so your prayers will be according to his will. Have belief and confidence that he hears and will answer every prayer. It was the prayer time with Eddie a few weeks ago. I said, do you believe these prayers were praying and got answered, Eddie? And he, I certainly do. He went, oh, yes, every prayer I'm praying is going to be answered. Great man of faith. Do you pray? We've been praying with people in the church recently on a one-to-one basis. We've been praying for some big things. I believe they're happening. I believe, without doubt, that God's doing that. So, let's go to the final two scriptures. Be encouraged in these scriptures. So, this is from Hebrews, a wonderful scripture which is showing us to encourage us. So, let's read together Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can as miserable sinners can approach God because, like Jez said, we're clothed in righteousness. We're his kids. We're his children. Our Father. We can go to him with confidence and freedom and ask for things. And he will hear us. And we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And the last one is from Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this, which is very famous, but it's so simple, but so true, so profound. And let's read together the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. It says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We can ask the right way, with the right motives, with freedom and confidence, knowing that our God hears and answers every prayer. So in summary, don't do these things. Don't read the Bible. Don't meet together. Don't worship. Don't give and don't pray with the wrong motives. So make sure we're doing these things from the right motives. So let us read the Bible. Let us meet together. Let us worship him. Let's give and let's pray together. Before I finish, I was just praying about this yesterday, and I felt very strongly there's some person or some people in the church who've like been here an awful long time, or I don't know, been in churches, and just feel very stale and dry and lethargic spiritually, and they want to get going again. They seem to be like in a cul-de-sac. And just saying that if that is you, before you leave, just come forward, just see myself or David, and we will pray with you, because there's nothing better than being back on that main line with God, doing it right. So please don't stay in a cul-de-sac. So I encourage you this week, please read your Bible. Please come together. Please worship our King. Please give generously to God. And please pray in the Spirit, all kinds of prayers, all occasions. Thank you so much. Bless you.